What's going on, everybody? This is Abby here, and welcome to another episode of Modern Day Unicorns. Today, I have someone very special, somebody I've been tracking down for quite a while. His name is Chip, and he is an amazing, amazing photographer, and I just had to get him on here to share more information with you all. So, Chip, welcome.
Hey, Abby, thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
Awesome, awesome. All right, so let's get this thing started, right? So I wanted to definitely track you down and learn more about your story. You've become like a game changer when it comes to photography, not only in your local area, but like, you know, you're doing some international stuff. But we're going to simplify this. Can you please tell us your name, where you're from, and what you do?
Mm-hmm. All right, so easy enough, Abby. My name is Chip Dizard. I'm from the Maryland, D.C. area. And I'm a photographer, a speaker, a mentor, just a jack of all trades, master of some, not all of them, but a few of them. And I also help a lot of creatives, not only photographers, grow their business and to make them, to get them to the next level.
Awesome, awesome. So that's great. So we're gonna back it up once more again, because I find that a lot of people that I speak to, they did not start in the industry that they're in now, or they're in pursuit of something and it completely changed. Have you always been on track to do photography, or like what was the start?
Believe it or not, it was more of marketing, and I got into years ago. There was in here a store called, well, it's called FedEx Office now. It used to be called Kinko's back in the day. And before FedEx Office, I used to work with the copy machines. And this was way circa early 2000s, right? Late 90s, early 2000s. And just doing technology, but doing marketing and doing some sales. And then I got into more of the technology side by just being around it. I've always had aptitude for it. I went to college, not really for the technology side of photography, but for English and writing. I thought I wanted to be a journalist. And then I just got hooked on just gadgets and technology and cameras. And I really got really my foothold when I volunteered at a church. And if you know anything about volunteering at a church, you can make a lot of mistakes, but you learn a lot too. And I learned a lot at that church. And one of the things that I said, Abby, is that I didn't have a lot of money to buy tech equipment, because back then tech equipment was really expensive. Well, it's expensive now, but even then. But now it seems like it's a little bit more affordable. But everything being equal. But back then, I had to make a deal with the church. The church couldn't afford to pay me. So what I said, from my marketing background, okay, you can't afford to pay me, but you want me to edit these ministry TV shows. I want you to buy me an Apple computer. It was Apple. It was equivalent of like a Mac Pro back then, but it was called a G5. I'm dating myself. But buy me a big computer. It's a desktop. I didn't say a laptop. And back then, I don't know how much a computer was. I know it was a couple thousand dollars. And I knew that computer would help me not only with their work, but with my work that I was trying to do, because I didn't have a computer. You know, how do you get a computer if you don't have a lot of money? And, you know, so I just had to negotiate. So that taught me a few lessons, Abby. It taught me that you always have to create a win-win. Sometimes people can't pay you, but you can always get something in return if you need it. And the deal was with me to keep that computer. I kept it, and actually I still have it in my storage to this day. I never threw it out, even though it's a dinosaur now. But it's still the fact that I have it. And every time I would move recently, I looked at the computer, I was like, wow. This is where it started. At least the creative side, where I was able to do stuff on my own and not borrow a computer, or go to a library, or go to a rental place, you know?
That's amazing. And so I just want to highlight definitely that leveraging your skills and, you know, bartering systems is an amazing thing. I also did a similar thing when it came to like a school that I worked at. It was like, hey, Like, I'm not getting a stipend, but y'all want me to keep on making this stuff for you. So you're going to have to upgrade my computer because I'm not sitting here for 8 hours after school on a slow computer. That's what's not going to happen.
Exactly. And that works. I mean, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But you never know until you ask, right? So you never know until you ask.
That's for sure. So. Now, what I want to ask again is, when did you pick up your first camera? Because what I'm trying to figure out is how you've navigated these waters to be where you are today in terms of photography. So what sparked your interest in photography? Because I feel like you're pretty niche down in it, in like the wedding industry and other events. But like, take us through the journey on how you picked up the first camera and now you said this is the type of thing that I shoot.
Yeah. So I probably really years ago, but to do it just as a hobby, I never thought about it as a career or a business because I didn't know how to make money, you know? So I've had it for a while. And then, like I said, when I was volunteering at the church, picked up a camera for video, and we had to do video cameras of the services and then photography of the people that were on the program. But then I started getting a little bit better and curious. So it was around, I got a later start than most. I didn't start like as a kid. I started like as a young adult, like 18, 19. And then in my 20s, I started getting it together. So, and then in 2010, how I got into weddings, a good friend of mine asked me to shoot his wedding. And I was like, and he wanted me to live stream it. I said, well, I'm just going to use a church cameras. I don't know how to do a wedding. I don't know how to do anything. I wasn't really interested anyway. I'm doing weddings because I just didn't know. You don't know what you don't know. But then he said, no, you can do it, man. I said, well, if I can do it, I'm not going to charge you a bunch of money. I'm just going to do it and just shoot it like it's a church service. And I put that thing on YouTube, and it didn't go viral, but it had a lot of views, and put some photos up of the service, and they had a big, big wedding, and it was a lot. They didn't have a reception, but they had a big wedding, and I did all that stuff, and that's where it started. Then I was like, then somebody else asked me. Because then, you know, when you're first starting out, people ask you. You don't market it because you don't know if you're good or not, right? You have this idea that you could be good, but, you know, you really don't know, Abby, if you're good or not. So I kept on doing it. I said, we'll get better. And then I said, okay, probably circa 2012, 2013. I said, you know what? Let me invest in some professional training. Let me just see what's going on. So I invested in a guy locally to train and got on more shoots and had mistakes. But really, I started slow with friends and family and a circle and a network and a church network. And it just grew from there because word of mouth is all I had. I had a website, but it wasn't that great. Instagram really wasn't out like that. Facebook really wasn't out. Like, it was for college people and for high school. So, but it was okay. But it was like word of mouth was a great vehicle for me.
So that's awesome to hear. And the fact that you kind of like made a decision to go ahead and get some professional training, I feel like a lot of times, especially nowadays, when so many things are at our fingertips, such as Instagram or YouTube and blogs and all these things, that people still try to piece the knowledge together, right? So yeah. When it comes to actually investing in a program or a person to actually walk you through the particular steps, even for me, it took me a while to be just like, okay, I'm tired of piecing this together. I need somebody to tell me what it is. And I think more for me was able to like validate my skills to be like, am I doing this right? Am I heading on the right track? But so thank you for that as well. I'm interested to know, as you also like transition, what made you decide to like give you all you have? So as you picked up the skill, you had your word of mouth, and it's just like, okay, I can do this 100% full time. What helped you make that particular decision to say whatever you were doing prior to say, I'm doing this now?
Yeah. So what I was, I had a mentor, and I was teaching at the time. I was teaching in the public school system and here locally in Baltimore. And I liked my job. I was still doing photography and videography on the side during the summer. And I enjoyed what I did. I had a mentor. He said, Chip, you're getting busy. You need to quit your job. I was like, no, there's no way. I don't have money saved up. I don't have this. And so I waited a couple months. And And I was like, let me try it. Because if I failed, I said, well, I had a job working, a part-time job, doing work at the church. So by this time, I was working at another church that hired me. So if all else failed, I did have a part-time job. It wouldn't sustain me for a long time, but enough. So I said, I'll give it from August. And by December, if I'm not at a certain goal, I'm going to go find work or whatever, right, after Christmas. So I think it was really, I had some people in my life that believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And that's what you need with people, right, Abby? You need people that believe in you and will show you your blind spots, but yet still say, hey, don't quit. And I said, okay, well, let me get a plan together. And I struggled a lot. I'm not going to lie. I struggled a lot in the beginning. And I didn't know what to do, because it's one thing. Let me explain something. There's a guy that I was following on. His name is Ira Glass. And he explains something about the creative process. And it goes something like this, is that when you create something, you look, your taste is pretty much better than what you can create. You understand what I'm saying? So, like, I like food, right? But I'm not a great cook. I'm learning to cook better. But I'm a self-proclaimed foodie. But my taste is better than the food I can put out. Same thing with my photography. I love photography, but I love what I see on the wall, but I can't put that out. Because I have to get to a point where what I like is as good as what I see. And the only way you do that is by continuing to shoot, continuing to cook, continuing to work out. Whatever you're doing is repetition. And then having somebody critique it and say, hey, this is good, you can do this. Because you can continue to do it, but if it's the wrong way, you still have to put it out there. So, for instance, I didn't have a lot of customers, so I used my daughters, my kids, as models. And I put stuff out there. And I used to send to people, hey, what do you think about this pose? What do you think about this pose? What do you think about this? As much as possible, shoot stuff for free. But I continue to put things out. Because one thing about artists, if you know anything about artists or anybody who does art, you put it out, you record it, you paint it, you do whatever. But then sometimes you keep it to yourself because you don't know if it's really good. And until people tell you it's good, you're like, oh, I can do it. Does it make sense, Abby? I want to make sure.
Oh, I 110%. Like, of course. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's sitting in queue or sitting unwatched by other people because I'm just like, But, you know, one of the issues that I find that I have, maybe there's two issues that I find. One, it's getting feedback from people who don't necessarily know what type of feedback to give you back. So sometimes, even in photography, right, sometimes you want somebody to say, yo, you need to pump, like, pull up the f-stop. Like, the background don't need to be super blurry on that, right? Or you got people like, you know, mom and family are like, oh, this is so nice, it's so cute. But then there's only some people who be like, can you clean up the sand? Like, why do I see a piece of trash? So there's that. And then the other thing that is happening nowadays is that people have so much stuff out to consume that they're also not giving back helpful feedback. Because there's so many different things to compare yourself to, or like, oh, it doesn't look like, why don't you have this, like, such and such from YouTube? But I guess my question now is, how do you gauge and get valuable feedback that is going to help you in general?
Yeah, I think you have to, and today with feedback, you're going to have to engage somebody. I know this is an unpopular opinion, but once I engage them, I mean, I'm talking about compensate at least something for that feedback. Because when there's money involved, somebody will do feedback for free. Like, I had my team getting feedback from a colleague when we shot a wedding recently. And I said, hey, what's your fee? He said, hey, just whatever you feel like you can give me. But I'm going to give him something, you know what I mean, for his time, because I respect his craft. And if I'm just looking at something very quickly, but for me to get the feedback that I want, you got to find somebody who knows what they're doing, and not only knows what they're doing in the industry, they can actually, not just taking payment, because you can pay anybody and they can still give you worthless feedback. But it's really having what we call in teaching a rubric, you know, for me, an education, a rubric of what is what does excellence look like in our field? And there's a conferences and things you can go to. The best place to find this feedback is at conferences. And you can get that for free right there. Go up to somebody and whatever industry you're in, hey, what do you think about this image? What could I have done better? Go up to a speaker, and you know what? I've been on the other side. When I've been an attendee and I've been a speaker, and people come up to me for feedback, and I'm apt to give some quick feedback. And if they want more in-depth, then I can say, okay, this is my price for more in-depth feedback. But I think that it's really putting yourself out there and asking people, and then asking them not with the intent of, hey, you know, how much is your, hey, I want feedback, but I respect your time. Could I buy you a cup of coffee? Or I don't have a lot of money. Can I like give you an Amazon gift card or whatever it is? And sometimes they would say no. Sometimes they say yes. It just depends. But I think you have to ask. And you have to move outside of your circle, Abby. Because a lot of people are in our circle. And those people that like us, you need somebody who knows you but is not impressed by you. Mm. And not, you know, and that's what I'm saying. And that's my, the feedback I get that is, very, because here's the truth of the matter. Our friends and family and people that are close to us, anything you put out, I can take a picture of the sky. They can be like, oh my God, this sky is amazing. You know, and it's just like, because they like me. And then, and let's just, there's inherent bias for feedback for people that you like. That just is. And I've done it. And if people, you probably have done it. People that you like. And if you know, I mean, and then their studies show that two photographs, that could be exactly the same. But if you knew that I took it and you were a good friend of mine, you'd be more apt to say this photo is better than the other one, even though they're exactly the same, just because of it's me. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, Yeah. So I think we have to invite that in, move out circles and conferences. And if you can't get to conferences, webinars, things like that. I've met some of the best contacts outside of a conference, you know, just walking down the hallway. And I know there's a lot of Zoom conferences and online conferences. You can just ask because people want to help.
I find that to be absolutely true, that one of the best things that's happened to me thus far is getting in, well, purchasing a course of and then also being a part of their community. Getting in communities or being in the presence of people, at least the virtual or physical presence with individuals who have joined for a like-minded or, you know, a like interest, is great. So something I want to ask you again, like as you continue to grow and mature in certain areas of expertise, when do you start saying, okay, not only like my services are, you know, worth this much or this is what I'm charging, but also my time. So how do you set parameters or boundaries around that to where you can get people to be like, ooh, can you show me this or can you show me that? Versus like, All right, you're going to have to schedule a call with me and that call is going to cost X.
Yeah. I think that's a creative problem, dilemma all of us have, even I have. So I have a list of services on my website. So I may limit myself. So what I have to do, I have to limit myself to a few calls, free calls per week, just because you can get more money, but you can't get more time, right? You just cannot. 24 hours, everybody is given. I don't care how much money you make. 24 hours is what we have in a day. And we just have to use it wisely. So that being said, is that I allot a certain amount of appointments per week to free calls. So if you're not on those that week where it's a week of free calls, if you want, you book those, that's fine. If not, that week is full with a certain amount of limits for paid calls as well. So I think it's really about taking control of your calendar. Give people options. There's some people who want to go straight to the free call, and that's 15 minutes. And then some people may go to paid call. When I say call, I'm talking about a Zoom, a team meeting, a webinar, or whatever, for the paid. But it just depends what you want and what are your outcomes. And I think as service providers, we have to put the guardrails up on our time, especially if you're an entrepreneur, looking to be an entrepreneur, and just act that way. I mean, I had the benefit when I was teaching. I was off 6 to 8 weeks during the summer. So I had time during the day. Not to just sleep in. I actually put things in place like I was getting up and going to work to school every day But I was sitting here at my desk working, and I gave myself boundaries and parameters. And I do the same thing now. And that's how I'm able. Yeah, I get derailed sometimes, but I want to make sure that my calendar, you have to stay good to your calendar. You have to, or else it will overtake you. You'll never get anything done. Another thing, pro tip I want to say, is that once you get to a place in your business, Abby, you're going to have to start using systems and outsourcing some stuff. And I know that costs money. And when you're first starting, I didn't have a bunch of money to outsource to pay people. So I get that. I do everything myself. But I have a virtual assistant. I have a photo editor that I use stuff for. Can I do it myself? Yes. But I was thinking today, is it a good use of my time to sit in front of Adobe Photoshop and Lightroom for 6 hours? It is on some stuff, but on some stuff, it's really not. You know? And I can't. You know? Because what can I can teach somebody or hire somebody to do that. Yeah, it's my secret sauce, some stuff I do, but what can I really do that nobody else can do? And that's market. That's be out there. That's talk. That's get price quotes. Can I give somebody else Photoshop? I can't. That's my ego, though, talking. You know, can I do it? You know, can I do it? Yeah, I can, but I'm trying to outsource. But when you're starting out, you got to kind of do everything until you get to a point where you can outsource that stuff and actually pay people to do it.
And that's a wonderful thing to bring up as well, because we all get to the point where it's like, okay, when do I get a team? Like, that's a big word nowadays. Like, oh, grabbing a team, and a lot of people are fixated on adding more people to help them, you know, delegate certain situations. And 100% on the calendar, after I got, you know, definitely not sponsored by them, but after I got Calendly, I was like, oh, this is everything to me, especially since I live abroad. Yeah. So this is great. I can set times that work for me so that I'm not having to do interviews at 3 a.m. But it's great, and it's an investment. So I think definitely in systems and things of that nature, those are things systems that you're going to have to bite the bullet on, because it's going to save you time. And I'm definitely in the process now to where I'm branching out a little bit more to see things that I'm willing to give up. So, you know, I'm definitely got some things in the palm of my hand. And I, like when you said, like, what thing can I not teach somebody, or, you know, it's like, you're not the best at that. You can definitely hand that over. But that's a fight. That's a fight. And I know you know that.
It is. It is. But listen, Abby, we have to make sure that it's a fight. But then we have to know that at the end, if you manage it well, it can happen. And that's the way you're going to grow eventually to a next level. There's only so many hours in the day that you can do stuff, right? And let's say you have 5 projects. Like, I'm looking at some projects coming up, looking at my calendar. I'm like, okay, I can do this, but would it be helpful if someone else really did it for me? You know, would it be helpful? Or if I can put that task into bite-sized pieces or system to help me, what system do I have? But remember, when you're first starting out, it's hard, because there are people that come to me that say, hey, Chip, you know, how do I send invoices out? I send them out in Microsoft Word, or I send them out in a Google spreadsheet, and people send me a PayPal or whatever, Cash App or whatever you use. You know, I said, no, you need a system that takes this, that makes it easier. And first of all, it makes it more professional on your end. I mean, it just does. And as a business owner, or as an aspiring business owner, you don't want to throw a lot of money out there without getting some in. I get that. But you want to look at a few systems. And my thing would be, if I'm starting all over again, I would use a system for my invoices. I should have used that a lot earlier. And I would have used a system for, like you're using Calendly, for my schedule and to block times off scheduling. I would have used that. But remember, when you're starting out, you probably don't need as much. So you can use a free version instead of a paid version for a lot of stuff. And then upgrade to the paid version after 90 days or whatever. That's what I did. I use a lot of free versions. And then once I hit that cap, because they all have a cap, and then I went to the paid version of certain systems and software.
And I'm going to say one more thing to definitely the new entrepreneurs, new business owners and things of that nature, service providers, because I've had the same situation to where it's like, well, somebody reached out for me to do something. So that means that I have to do it. That means that, you know, if I get somebody else to do it, then it's not authentic, or I'm not being super honest. But what I want to say is that these people pay you to get something done. whether you and your fingers and your mouse did it, it is you know, it's pointless. It doesn't really matter. They're paying you for a service to complete it. And I think that is one of the things that's been a hang up for me. It's just like, Abby, they're paying you to get the service done. Whether Abby does it or somebody else does it, as long as you can give them what they ask for, all is fair.
Correct. And they don't need to know the details, right? Do I really need to know the details that you didn't edit something or a podcast or a thing? As long as it comes out well, and, you know, because you're going to be responsible at the end for it anyway. So the issue comes in, it's control, and it's our baby. And I get that. Trust me. It's our name. It's our baby. You know, but if you're at a regular job, you can't do everything. Everybody has to do their role. You've been in situations, I know I've been in situations where, you know, either in school or we have a group project, that we hated group projects in college, right? Or in high school, and somebody doesn't pull their weight on the team, on a group project. What happens? Somebody else has to pick it up because you're getting graded as this group, whoever it is. And that's how life is. You know, it's a group project, right? And if the guy or the lady is not pulling their weight, you know, you either got to do it or find somebody new. You know, at school, you can't just fire somebody in your group. But it's the same thing. I hated group projects in school, but I understand them now. You know, I hated them because you always get stuck with doing the most work and writing the most portions of the paper. Because invariably, you can care about your grades and stuff more than somebody else. And nobody wakes up, Abby, wakes up and say, you know what? I don't want to do a good job today. I want to just mess this stuff up. Stuff happens. We get distracted. Whatever happens. Life happens. But it's really making the same mistake twice or three times. Now, I'm not going to make mistakes I made in 2006, in 2022. That just won't happen anymore. Now, while I make some mistakes, of course, but I know how to recover from them quickly, you know, and I know how to maneuver around them a lot better.
Mm. Well, listen, Chip, I want to thank you so much for the time that you spent with us thus far. And as we transition, I want to make sure you've shared so many gems already, but I want to get some tips from you. And these can be tips for people who are looking to get into photography or service providers, yeah. Whatever your heart has in mind. Could you share those with us, please?
Yeah, great. Thanks, Abby. Three tips I want to share and things I should have learned a lot earlier. Number one, and I'm not going to even talk about social media because everybody knows about social media these days, Instagram, Facebook, well, especially TikTok, things like that. But I want to tell you to work. Number one, I want you to work on your website SEO. And if you know what SEO is, it's search engine optimization. You have a business, there are free YouTube videos you need to work when you're a service provider, a photographer, event coordinator, whatever you are, teacher. Let's say you're a tutor or something like that. You need to work on being found, okay? And the easiest way to do that is having your website. I don't care what platform it's on, but having your website optimized for search engine availability. Number two is work on your network. You know, I love social media. I love meeting people online, but sometimes it's just good to meet people in person. I know we're here in the U.S. at the end of COVID, and more in-person events are coming back a little bit more. And it's okay to meet people in person. And I think that since we haven't had that in the last couple of years, in-person events, I've missed that. I missed that going to a happy hour or networking function or something. Even if it's virtual, just meet people. And then the last thing I want you to think is work on yourself. When I say work on yourself, is I want you to work on your own self-care. We see it, we hear it, especially if you're a man. Work on your time off. I'm doing that so much this year, and it's just improved my well-being. I'm taking time off. I used to work every weekend, Abby, every weekend. But now I have a system where I have certain weekends where I'm working and certain weekends where I'm not. Now, I'm at the point where I can do that now. I always was at the point I can do that. But I have things that in place to have those guardrails up that you can work hard and you can play hard and enjoy your life, because nobody wants to be a service provider, entrepreneur, or whatever you are, and just work all the time. You need that balance. We call it sharpening the saw. Okay. There's a quick story I want to share real quick, and then I'll be done. But it's about a guy, two guys, were a guy was trying to chop down a tree, and he was sawing and sawing and sawing. He was just going for hours and hours and hours. And as you know, when you're sawing, trying to get a tree down, after a while, the blade becomes dull. Then a guy came and said, "What are you doing? You've been here for hours, and the tree hasn't come down. Why don't you go sharpen your saw?" And he's like, "What? Really? Okay." Boom. And he went. And every hour, he took a break and went to sharpen the saw. And guess what? The tree came down that much quicker. So what does that tell us? We need to take time for ourselves, sharpen our saw. This is a principle. I didn't invent it. It's made famous by a gentleman named Stephen Covey, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And when you have that time off, it's not just for Instagram or TikTok to show that you went to an island or somewhere nice. It's really for yourself. Sharpen that saw. So work on your website SEO, work on your network, and work on yourself, aka sharpen that saw.
Those are all wonderful tips applicable to everybody that's listening, and we want to thank you for that. Listen, Chip, this has been a valuable time that we've shared together, and I hope all of our listeners will take these things to heart and put those principles into practice immediately.
Thank you for having me, Abby.
My pleasure. Now, listen, folks, if I thank you for joining us for another episode of Modern Day Unicorns on today, please make sure that you like, share, and subscribe. Oh, you know what? I need to go back. Chip, you have to share all of the places and spaces that people can find you, you know, solicit your services, all this other stuff. Please share that with us.
Yeah. Sure. My website is chipdesard.com or at chipdesard on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. You can find me all. Just search my name, DIZARD1Z, and Chip Desard, and you can find me at allplaces.com. See my wedding work, see my other work, mentoring work, everything right there. Just search me and find me there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Once again, thank you for joining us for another episode. Please be sure to follow Chip, follow us. If you are a unicorn or you know somebody else that is, feel free to leave a comment below or message me directly. I'd love to continue the conversation. Until next time, we will see you.